sign right underneath the cooler. Trying to get cool off. What? Well, I was just sitting over there. I was right behind you. Brother Abe asked me a question this morning as I was teaching from the book of Zechariah and Haggai. And we went on to a word there which I call the blacksmith, artificer, armorer. All right. It also means a carver. It's a tarashim. Now, Sister Cindy knows the difference between the heth and the cheth now, don't you? Heth, there's two Hebrew letters, they look a lot alike. One of them like that. And my letters, in my interlinear, I try to make them better than the Hebrew text. Which the Hebrew text many times leaves a lot to be desired, to tell you the truth. Especially in the interlinears. So I try to make my letters look a little better. So this one is in there. It acts like a stump. Okay, the chest. So it starts with a ch. Chadrashim. All right, Chadrashim is the word. All right. We have a word in the New Testament, Greek. It's technites. We get a word technician from that. What is a technician? Technician is somebody who's real good at doing some technical thing. Technical comes from this word also. In the New Testament, this word can mean, in the Old Testament, it can mean blacksmith. It can mean metal worker. It can mean wood carver. It can mean somebody that's really good at killing. An assassin. Okay, an assassin. And, of course, an armorer. Back in those days, they had a... what kind of armory did they have? They had shields, they had helmets, they had swords and spears, and knives and arrows. All right, and mail. They had shields, they had armor. And that's what a blacksmith did back then. That was what a blacksmith did. This Chadrashim is plural, by the way. Chadrashim is plural. So that's the word blacksmith this morning that we ran into. And in the New Testament, it also can mean stonemason or carpenter. Not carpenter. There weren't really carpenters back in the Bible days. You know, Jesus the carpenter and all of that, you know. That he, if Joseph was anything, he would have been a wood carver, but he was probably a stonemason. More likely. All right? A stone cutter. Because he used stone cutting terms all the time, using stone cutting terms. So that word comes into here. Did that answer your question, Brother Abe? That was Hebrew, so I thought I'd bring it out tonight. Well, this is the Greek equivalent. Uh-huh. All right, when I was leaving the class this morning, he asked me that because when we were studying the Old Testament now, we've got two more weeks in the Old Testament on Sunday morning, and then we're going to go into the Hekinah Diatheke, the New Testament. All right? I've been in the Old Testament, what? All of the New Testament. Yeah, book by book. We're going to go in the book of Matthew first. I'm going to try to go into subjects, you know, cover a whole subject or maybe two or three subjects in a class period. Like we did when I was teaching in the seminary with Greek, like we do our Greek Wednesday night class. All right. Let's go to the book of Bereshit. Genesis. All right. Genesis. Genesis comes from what Greek word? Genesis. That's really it. It comes from the Greek word Genesis, which comes from the word, the Greek word, huh? Genomai. All right. Genomai, which means to become our beginning. All right. You think we ought to go over the Hebrew alphabet for a moment? Are you there? You've got it right in front of you, don't you? All right, let's look at the Hebrew alphabet for a minute, since you've asked me questions about it off and on. The Aleph. Say Aleph. All right. That looks like an ox. Remember an ox. Okay, Beit.
Faith is like the house. All right? And then gamel, that's like a camel. All right? And it, see, it looks like a knee also. A nun, I mean. I get my Greek and my Hebrew mixed up. See, here's the nun in Greek. Neen and final neen. My final neen will have a little crook on it. So you will see that it's not a yod or something else. All right? And then the gamel is like this. And I put a heel on it. All right? That's a gamel. Gamel's like camel. All right? And then daleth. All right? And you see the daleth. It has a heel on top, or a hat on the top, or a bill on the top, whatever you want to call it. Okay? Dalit, hay. All right, now this hay has got a little door right here. See that? Okay. And hay is like a window. And then we got wow. And that's like a reaping hook. And then we have Zion, that's like a weapon. And then we have Chet. And here's the other CH sound, all right? Like this one right here. It looks like this, but it looks like that. And it also looks like a towel. And in some of the Hebrew manuscripts, you can't tell a Chet from a Het from a towel. All right? So you got to know the word. And then we have the word Teth. And that's like a snake. And I forgot the Cheth was like a fence. And like in lock or bunch. Cheth. Alright? The yod is like a hand. And then kof is like an open hand, like that. And lameth is like a whip. And mame is like waters. Alright? And then we have neen, as I show you here. Alright? And then somic, like a prop. And by the way, neen is like a fish. Alright? And then we have the word ayin. Ayin like eye, and pay like in mouth. Pay like mouth. And of course, there's a pH sound and a P sound. Okay? A pH sound and P sound. And what are the Greek equivalents of this sound? Pi and what? Phi. Pi and phi. So you'll see that they cross over. Okay? All right. Where are we? Pei, and then like a mouth, and then sadhe. Sadhe is like a fish hook, and it is a TS sound. Sadhe. Sadhe. All right? Ha'aris. Now, in modern Yiddish, it would be ha'aris. But in Biblical Greek, it's ha'aris. You've got to have that T sound in it, okay? And then kof. And then resh. Sin. Shin. And tau. All right. So now we've gone over that a little bit. Does that help you a little bit on your Hebrew? What? Yeah. Well, you mean in the first set?
Yeah,
I did that a lot. We did it almost every time. All right. That was the first set of the book of Genesis. How many, what class are you? You're in five more? Five more left, and that will be 41, so you're at...
No, it's 43.
Was there 43 in that class? Oh, no, I threw a couple of extra in there. Yeah, no, because it's 41. I just threw a couple of extra CDs in there, because I had them. So you're three more from them. All right. So you almost caught up before we began here. You'll hear yourself in that 42 and 43 classes. 16:13. This is very, very good. This is a fantastic, beautiful verse in the Bible. Genesis 16:13. Watikra, Shem, and then here's the word for Jehovah, which we'll call Hadabar, Hadovar, all right, Eliha, Atah. How about the next one? El for God, Roe, Ki, Amara, Hagam, Haom, Ra'iti, Atari. Now see that word, Atari, from the throat, Atari, and Roe. So you have a little bit of a CH sound in that last one there, Atari. Now the modern Hebrews will say Ahari. Okay? Let's go back and look at this one. This is a beautiful verse. Third person feminine singular. Kal, vowel, consecutive, imperfect from Kara, page 894 and page 1128, respectively. Brown, Driver, and Briggs is 894 and 1128 is Kohler and Bumgardner. Called. And she called and kept on calling Shem, name Jehovah. Shem, name. What else does Shem mean? What? Shem? What?
Monument.
Pillar. Monument, pillar, fame. All of that. And look at that one up under 10, page 1028 in Brown, Driver, and Meeks. So Shem means name, it means monument, it means pillar, it means renown. Okay? Name. A guy has a good name. His name is infamous. What did I mean? Charles Manson, infamous. How about famous? Abounding in fame. Somebody that's very famous. Like, you like somebody real famous? Huh? Who? Yeah, Garth Brooks. Famous. All right, Buck Owens. He was famous. That's names. Sham. It can be infamous, it can be famous, but that's what it means, renown, okay? Shem Jehovah, the name of Jehovah. And then we have the word Hadavar, the one speaking, masculine singular, cal participle. Comes from the bar. That's where we get the word name from, or word. Word. All right? Now this word here, when we started with the book of Haggai this morning, it says, and the word of the Lord, the bar of Jehovah. The word of Jehovah. Jeremiah, and it says, and the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah the prophet. Same thing in Zechariah. The word of the Lord, the bar. Okay? And in John 1:1 it says, in beginning was the word, or the bar. What is the equivalent in Greek of the bar? Come on, girls and boys. Logos. You got to get that one down. Logos. Almost wrote Greek backwards. Logos. In beginning was the Logos, the Word, okay? And that's exactly who we're talking about here, the Word. The one speaking unto her, Aliha, unto her, Ata, you are God. Look at that word El there. El, God. What's the equivalent in the Septuagint? It says in Septuagint, Hothios. Hothios, the God. Because we're talking about the God of heaven. She knew. Do you believe that old Hagar was saved? I think the little old girl was saved. Jehovah appeared unto her two times. We're going to find out that later on. He appeared unto her two times. She didn't have any choice over what she was going to do with her life or her whole future or anything. She had no choice. She was a slave. She was property. Last week I entitled the message, God and the Little People. This is the little people right here, the little person. The little person. Some people in the world, some groups of people have been made slaves forever. Black people, for one. Chinese. When the Chinese came to this country, they were run over something horrible. Did you know that? They were used as literally slaves in the railroads. Just go out here. And every tunnel, every track of railroad was laid by Chinese, basically nearly working for slave labor. all over. The farms. There was places in Northern California where they cleared fields of heavy stones where they put great big tall and long walls between the fields that they picked up by hand out of there. Have you ever been up here to Tehachapi and look up in the mountains up there? There's little ditches all over, little holes in the ground up there. You know why there's little holes in the ground up there? Gold mining. Chinese could not have a hard rock gold claim in America. You know it. They were little people. Little people as far as this country was a little cheese. There was an anti-Chinese league in almost every big city in America, wasn't there? And they were working in their own little sweatshops and the laundries and everything. Samuel Laundry down here and different things. They were used as slaves. Slaves. When they came over here, they were used as slaves because in China, they were emperors. The Ming Dynasty and all of these different dynasties over there. And many people were slaves. And they were used to working and working hard and not having any voice. That's why Mao, when he went to China and they started the communist deal and the people had a voice. Boy, they were all excited about this. Every place they ever went in the world, they were walked on. The little people. God likes the little people. He takes care of the little people so many times. You just look at it in the Bible. Find out. God. Seeing, providing, shepherding, Roe. Jehovah Roe is a title, isn't it? Jehovah Roe. This is the word for the, one of the Jehovah titles. Jehovah Roe. What is Jehovah Roe? What does it mean? What's Jehovah Roe? What? The Lord my shepherd. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. This is exactly, and this is one of the first places in the Bible where this is even used. And so I have never heard a preacher preach on this. I don't know why. It's beautiful. In Hebrew, maybe they didn't look at it in Hebrew, I guess. I don't know. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord, Jehovah, is my roeh, my shepherd. If you go on the front of discovertheword.com and look down there where it says the names of God, you will see Jehovah Roeh down there, the Lord my shepherd. And this, Hagar is naming him the Lord our shepherd. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, he is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's looking at Jehovah as David's shepherd. And this is David's idea of heaven. This is the idea of heaven. A rod and my staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and still anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows much more than I can eat and much more than I can drink. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of Jehovah. I will be in his shepherd, in his little pen, shepherd pen forever. And of course that shepherd pen now is New Jerusalem. Jehovah Roe. John the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 14. In the New Testament, we have the Good Shepherd, John 10, Kata Iwane. I want you to equate this with this because this, it needs to be indelibly in your mind who this is talking to this woman. John 10 and 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door to the fold of the sheep, and the sheepfold is heaven. David said, I will be in God's sheepfold forever. He who does not enter by the door of the sheepfold, but climbs over in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The door was where the shepherd lay in front of the sheep to guard them. No wolf or lion or bear could come into that sheepfold, except it had to come over the body and person of the shepherd. And Jesus is our shepherd. He who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by his by their own name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is the one that is dealing with Hagar. A stranger simply will not follow them, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. This is a figure of speech if Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what things that we which had been saying to them. Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy and come that he... but I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the what? I am Jehovah Roi. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Did Hagar know her shepherd? Did Hagar know the shepherd? Let's look and see what she says now. You can preach a message on salvation right from Genesis 16 and verse 13 alone. Take that, and you could lead somebody to Jesus. Right here. And she called and kept on calling the name of Jehovah, the one speaking unto her, "You are God shepherding. You are God providing. You are God seeing after me." Because she said, third person feminine singular, cow perfect, because she had said, even or also, here, a little adverb of place, here I have looked upon face to face the one seeing after me. The Roe. Masculine singular, cow participle, suffix, first person construct singular, because that's the one seeing after her. Alright? Masculine singular, the Lord, and first person, or first person construct singular is Hagar. In the Septuagint, it says, Kai gar enopion adon afenta moi. And the one face to face seeing, the one appearing to me. Afenton. I saw God face to face. This little girl is one of the first people in the Bible, Gentiles. See, we have hope. This Gentile Hamite gets to see Jehovah face to face. And he is the good shepherd, the one providing and looking after her. Yes. What?
Voice.
Yes.
Logos is different.
Say that again.
Logos is kind of a word.
Yes.
Kind of the voice.
Oh, the voice of God?
Yeah.
Hearing the voice of God? Well, she says that. What tikra? And she called on the name of the one speaking to her. Ha-davar, the one speaking. So she heard the voice of God, and she heard his voice, and she saw him. Now Paul, on the road to Damascus in the book of Acts, says that the other people heard a sound of Jesus speaking to him. He heard him, and the brightness of his glory blinded him. Blinded him, the brightness of his glory. All right, did that? All right? Okay. All, 16:14, all, can, kara, la, ba, ber, okay, ba'er, lehe, roe, kene, ben, Actually, it would actually be Van, like a V instead of a B, Van. Kadesh, Uvan, or Uvan, it'd be modern Hebrew, Bared. All right, let's look at this now. Therefore, because of this, that's what that means. Or upon because. Or therefore, because of this. Page 756 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 384 in Davidson's Analytical Hebrew Grammar, by the way. If you are going to buy one Hebrew lexicon, buy Davidson's, because that one is an analytical Hebrew lexicon. All right? Because that way you can look up every word. Brown, Driver, and Briggs is good. Gesenius is good. And Kohler and Baumgartner is great. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, all of these are great lexicons, but Davidson is an analytical lexicon. It will show you every word and what part of speech it plays. So that one's the number one you need, and then you can get the other ones to add on later. And therefore, because of this, she had called, third person masculine singular, she had called one, cal perfect, the well, the be'er. Well means a spring or a bubbling place where water bubbles up. I've always wanted to take my wife up in the canyon up there in White Mountain, this wonderful, by Robert's Ranch. There's a creek up there that just runs out of the ground in this place. It just begins right there. And you can go up there, and wild watercress is there, and the water is just flowing out, and it becomes bigger and bigger stream on down. That's what you call a whale bear. Okay? A bear air. La bear. Baer. La hay. The living one. All right? The well living one. Seeing me. She names the well the living water. Jesus said to his disciples, and he stood up when they poured out the drink offering, and he said, "Come unto me, that ye that thirst, and I'll give you water." And there in John the 4th chapter, there at the well in Samaria, Jesus told to the Samaritan woman, "I can give you water that you'll never need water to drink again." He is the water of life. He said, what are we saying back in the Old Testament? He said, "I am the rock." In Matthew 16:18, he said, "You're Peter, you're a stone, but upon this gigantic Petra, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down." He was the rock of Israel. He was Jehovah is the rock so many times. Jehovah is the rock. And from that rock that Moses struck came out with running living water. Living water. And this is a foretaste of all of this. Here's a foretaste of it all. This is before Moses, and before Moses striking the rock. And this is before Psalm 23, and this is before John the 10th chapter, and we get a little peek into the future of who Jehovah is. He is the rock of Israel. He is the well that will never run dry. He is the good shepherd. And one called it the well, the living one, seeing, shepherding. All right? Masculine singular, call participle. Suffix, first person, construct singular. And behold, between, ban, hene, ban, between, Kadesh. The well is between, or this place is between Kadesh and Uvan, and between Bered. Some people say this is about 12 miles south of Beersheba. Now the word Bered, page 136 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 114 in Davidson, it means, in some ancient etymology, it means a place in the heart. A place in the heart. And it also means seed place. Seed place. And the heart is the seat of your emotions, isn't it? We call it the heart. When you get hurt, your heart hurts. you feel it in your chest when you get emotionally upset or you see some terrible thing, it affects you in the chest, so to speak. Your seat of your infection of your affections. Seed place. All right. The place where a seed grows, the heart of the seed. 16:15. Wateled Hagar Li Abram Ben Wayikra Abram Shem Beno Asher Yalida Hagar Ishmael. It sounds like we're almost reading Hebrew, doesn't it? Wateled. And she gave birth. It comes from Yalad. And she gave birth, third person feminine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. She gave birth, and so that child came out. Hagar. What does Hagar mean? Wanderer. The poor little wandering girl. Because she's going to become a wanderer, and she's going to be set free from slavery, but she's going to become a wanderer. She's kicked out to die. Excommunicated from Abram's family because of his jealous wife. Maybe some other incident. Hagar to Abram, Li Abram. See that word, that lamet in the front of that? That means two or four. To Abraham, according to a pattern. Ban. Ban. According to a pattern. That's what ban means, ban. According to a pattern. When you have a child, you expect the child to have some of your family traits. Do you not?
How come the sons are according to a pattern?
What about
the girls?
The girls are, it's benote. Okay. That's according to a pattern too. Okay. All right. According to a pattern. My cousins will be here next Sunday morning and Sunday night from Paul's Valley. The Pauls, the ones that wrote The Shadow of the Indian Star. When they saw pictures of me, I told them that I was the... When I emailed them, I saw the book, and I knew the stories in the book better than they did, so to speak. Because I got them firsthand from my great-grandmother. And I told them stories that they didn't even know anything about. I think it was Friday night. They did episode 39. There's going to be episode 39. And by the way, these episodes are 1 hour long. They did episode 39, put it together for episode 39 of Shadow of an Indian Star on HBO or Disney Channel or something that's going to be on. And that's where my great-great-grandmother ran off with Jim Ross, my great-great-grandfather's deputy. She was pregnant with my great-grandmother, and she ran off with Buck and Willie and my great-grandmother while she was still pregnant with her, and went into the Cherokee Nation. And that's episode 39. So you can see that, and you'll see my beginnings there. When they saw pictures of me, they said, "Huh, we can't believe how much you look like the Pauls. You look like Willie's Paul's side of the family." Well, it just happens to be on Willie Paul's side of the family, we're double cousins. So we all look alike. According to a pattern. According to a pattern. We ought to look like that. My cousin Robin in Colorado, when he saw pictures of me on discovertheword.com, he looked there and he said, "You look like Haskell." Well, I had never seen Haskell, my cousin Haskell, when he was young. And he sent me a picture of him. It was like looking at my face. I couldn't believe it. According to a pattern. You see those patterns. You have family traits. Family traits. And she continued to bear Hagar to Abraham a son, according to the pattern. And we Wayikra, and she called and kept on calling. She always did call him. Abram, name of his son, Esher, whom Yalada, that she had bore Hagar, Ishmael. Ishmael. Now who named this child? Who named Ishmael? This child's name is inspired. His name means to be heard of God. God is hearing. God hears. God has heard. Page 1035 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Who named this child? Jehovah named this child. His name was inspired because God heard her prayers, and the Good Shepherd appeared unto her before he was known as a Good Shepherd, and she called him the Good Shepherd. First one to call him the Good Shepherd was Hagar. She was the first one to call him the Good Shepherd. John 10, Psalm 23, Genesis 22, 8 through 14, Genesis 14 and 7. Let's go to Genesis 22 for just a moment. Genesis 22, you've got it in your book. We're going to jump ahead. Why, Yikroth. Look at that. Same way the sentence began, just exactly. Why, Yikroth. See it there? 22:14. Can you say that? Why, Yikroth Avraham. Hey, we got an extra letter in his name now, don't we? Avraham. Shem, Ha-mai-gom. All right. Ha-hu. And then we have the word Jehovah. Jehovah. And then we have the word Yireh. All right. And then Asher, Yamer, Hayom, Bahar, Devar, Yireh. All right. Now let's look at this. And he called Abraham, name the place, the that, Jehovah, Jehovah shall keep on seeing to it, Jehovah Jireh. Also, the Jehovah shall keep on seeing to it, or also, Jehovah was seen here, Jehovah was seen. So who got to look upon Jehovah? Here we have two, and they call him Jehovah Roeh, or Jehovah Jireh. He names the place Jehovah Jireh. And then Asher, which ye Amer, which is said, the today, in mountain, Jehovah is seen. Jehovah is seen. That word is Roeh. See the word Roeh? Roeh is the root of both of those words. Roeh is the root of both of them. Roeh means what? Is seen, or provides, or shepherd. We've got to jump ahead just a little bit, see? Abraham now is acquainted to Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah Roeh. And he names the place. Now she called the name of the place what? The well of the shepherd, the one seeing after me. All right? The well of the shepherd seeing after me. Let's go on to 16:16 now. 16:16. We Avram, Ben, Shemonim, Shana, We Shesh, Shanim, Biledet, Hagar, Et, Yishmael, Li Avram. Okay. And Abram's son, 80 years and 6 years. So how old was he when this child was born? He was 86 years old when the child was born. At bearing. At birthing. That word birthing or bearing. It comes from the same word. It's birthing or bearing. It is Cal infinitive construct. All right. Page 408, page 411. Hagar, the wanderer, et is what? Sign of the direct object. Okay. What is the Greek equivalent to that? Ace. All right. Ishmael, God has heard to Abraham. Now she bore a child. And his name was Ishmael, named by God himself. this little old little person, God and the little people. God is watching after the little people. I'll tell you what, that woman at the well, at Jacob's well in Samaria, was a little person, wasn't she? Everybody looked down and belittled her upon her because she was not exactly a harlot, but a loose woman. A woman of very little regard. All right? Wahi, Avram, Ben, Tishim, Shana, Watisha, Shanim, Wayira, and then we have the word Jehovah, which we'll call Halavar, El Abram, Wayomer, Elah, Ani, El Shaddai, Hitlaek, Hithalek. All right. Ve Pane, Ve Ye, Tamim. All right, we're in the 17th chapter here. Look what happened to us tonight. We're in the 17th chapter. El Shaddai appears to Abram. El Shaddai. Now we have a different word, a different name of God. God is developing who He is from the Scriptures. He's telling us, we saw the Good Shepherd before He became the Good Shepherd, but He was the Good Shepherd all the time. He was a Good Shepherd from eternity past. And here we have one of the first people is a Gentile calling Jehovah the Good Shepherd. The one who sees after me, or the one who is seen. Why he? And became Abram, son of 99 years, and appeared, look at this word now, it's Roy again, and appeared in sight, third person masculine singer, Nithael, while consecutive and perfect, Jehovah unto Avram. And Jehovah said, and he said, that should be a capital H in there, capital H-E, and he said unto him, Elah Ani, I El Shaddai, I El Shaddai, I God Almighty, I God All-Nourishing. Shad means a woman's breast. That's what Shad means. That is how a woman nourishes her child for eons of times. When God created Hisha from Adam, He gave her breast to nourish her children with. Alright? And God knew ahead of time that a man would understand what El Shaddai means, because a woman nourishes and gives life to the child and keeps the child, sustains the child. Without a woman, without milk for a child, the child is going to do what? He's going to die. And without El Shaddai, we'd all die. A guy asked me today on the radio, when I was kind of teaching and talking on the radio this afternoon for a few minutes, he asked me if I prayed real hard, do you think God would appear to me? And I said, I don't need God to appear to me. I said, people that don't believe in God look for a God that they can feel and touch and see. What makes paganism so really drawing to people is because they got an idol they can bow down to and touch. Now, God touched me. I didn't touch Him. When He convicted me of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, He convicted my heart. That was real to me. That's real. It's just as tangible as the table right here, those microphones, or that table right there in front of you. It's tangible. God touches you with His Spirit. It is tangible. Tangible means what? I preached a sermon one time called tangible. That which may be touched. Tangible. That which may be touched. God, we don't have to look at something and see God. The book of Hebrews says, to believe God, we must believe that He what? He is. He exists. You don't have to see God. We will see God someday, but you don't have to see Him right now to believe in Him, do you?
We take the Bible, and the Bible unfolds God's personality to us. We can see it tonight. I hope that you saw a little of God's personality unfolded before your eyes. How He reveals Himself to us. God Almighty. We don't need to touch, see, and bow down to God. Not before an idol. You go into Bill Lee's restaurant down there, and they got a Buddha in there, and his belly is all slick, where people have put their hands on his belly. That's a God they can feel. That's why Buddhism is so precious to people. They got a God that they can bow down to. God Almighty. We don't need a God that we can touch. He touches us. And the charismatic movement is so rampant among Christendom today because they got a God that they can feel. They get excited. They can feel it. And not only that, but they want something healing. Why did Jesus heal anybody in the New Testament? Why did He do it? Not so much because they needed healing. Why? To prove that's His credential that He was God the Son. Especially the blind ones. He healed these people to prove who He was. Now, I've got so many maladies in my life that it would be nice if God just reached down and touched and healed me. That would be real good. I think I've got 5 tumors in this hand that they say they need to operate on to take them out. I got a tumor right there in my chest next to my heart that they want to operate on. They want to take my colon out. They want to fix my shoulder and operate on my neck. And then the other shoulder, when they get through with all that, if I last through all of that. Now, it would be really nice if God would just zap that and fix it all. But it must be that God wants me to have this. This must be good for me. Brother David, you had a sick family in the last couple of years. It would be nice if God had just reached down and zap all of them without them going under the knife. Even the little child that had to go under the knife here a while back. It would be nice if your son-in-law, if God had just take all them tumors and just take them away without the knife, wouldn't it? And God said, well, how is this stuff happening to you? And I said, well, God must think I'm really tough. But I said, I'm really a sissy. He just doesn't know it yet. Well, that's the way it is. We don't have to be healed of our illnesses. We're all going to die anyway, unless the Lord raptures us in the meanwhile. It would be nice not to have to grow old. I know that Randy there is very athletic. He rides his bike all over the place. Cindy, you've been athletic most of your life. But as you get older, kind of wear out. It would be nice if we were at the prime of our life forever, but one of these days we'll be at the prime of our life forever. That's nice. When I move in the morning, in the middle of the night, when I roll over, I know I'm hurting. Wakes me up, pain. Makes me long for the beatific vision. When we go into the presence of God without any of these pains or anything. But I don't need to see God to believe that He is. I have His Word. I look at Him. Right here it is. 99 years old when Jehovah unto Abraham, and He said unto him, El Shaddai, I am the all-nourishing one. Now, why did God use this name right here for Himself? What was going to happen to Abraham next? It says that he's 99 years old. Doesn't it? Huh? He's going to have another kid. Now, the great miracle is not Abraham had the kid. He was producing semen, and he had a child already. He's 99 years old. But he wanted to understand one thing. Now, Abraham, you were pretty old when you had that boy over there. You know, you were 86 years old. Now you're 99. The kid's 13 years old here, supposedly. And he's going to have another child. The miracle is that God is going to have to rejuvenate that old prune of a wife he had.
old contentious. She was fat beyond her childbearing days. That's the real miracle right there. The real miracle. All El Shaddai hit Halek. You walk. Masculine and senior, hit Baal imperative. You walk from before my face and become spotless. Boy. You walk from before my face. El le pane. Paneus, word face. When you talk about the faces of, in Genesis, the second chapter, it talks about the El Pane Tahom, the faces of the deep, and the faces of the El Pane Hamayim, the faces of the waters. Everything has surfaces and faces. He said, you walk before my face, and I'm going to tell you what, God is omnipresent, isn't he? And he's omniscient. He said, you walk before me, and you become spotless. Sound is what the name, blameless, amamtos, in the Greek Septuagint, you become sound. You're going to become sound. Sarah is going to become sound, and you're going to have a kid, another one. Now, in the background, people were laughing. In the background, people were laughing. Genesis 12 and 7, 18 and 1, 28 and verse 3, 35 and verse 11, 6 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 13, James 5 and 4, and Romans 9 and 29, and Psalm 24 and verse 10, all cross-reference to this verse right here. And even the book of Hebrews tells us when Abraham was 99 years old, when he was 100 years old, he had faith. God built your faith. 10 years ago, I did not have the faith that I have today in God. Brother Harry, is that right here? How about you, Brother Dave? 10 years ago, I don't think you had the faith in God then that you have today. I preached the book on, I preached a sermon in 1972 or 3 on the book of Job. Boy, I thought I was doing a real good job. I didn't know anything. I was a child in the faith. And I, one of my friends that listened to that sermon, he said, your voice was a little higher pitched back then. It's gotten deeper now. I was in my 20s back then, you know. He said, I bet you know a lot more about Job now than you did then. And he said, told me that 15 years ago. I'll tell you what, I know a lot more about the book of Job now than I did 15 years ago, and a whole lot more than I did 40 years ago. And I know a whole lot more about God, too. You get to know God better every year. That's why he leaves us on the ground, so we can tell others. What is one of the best testimonies you can give? You can read the Bible to people. That is very important. You need to know the Word of God. But what has God done to you in your life? My cousin, Cindy Paul, she wants me to write a book, The Man That Wouldn't Die. Remember, she told me that several times. You ought to write a book, The Man That Wouldn't Die. I have been so close to that so many times, but I got news for you. I'm going to die. If the Lord doesn't rapture me up, I'm going to croak one of these days. Sometimes it feels like it's every day. But I know why I'm here. I'm here because I'm teaching this word to you right now, because God wanted me to teach this word. Why I made it through all the accidents and all the terrible things and all the near killings in the life and all the near assassinations in my life. I know that I was going to be assassinated 3 different times, but I'm still here. Marilyn Knockdown got the one. That was October 31st, 1999 was when I was going to be assassinated. And you found out about that. How did we find out about it? That's 3 times. How do all these things happen? All the near misses. And sometimes a few hits. Well, God has something for you. I guarantee you there is no cancer. There is no heart attack. There is no disease nor person going to kill you before your time. You're going to run the race. You don't know how long the race is, but you're going to run the race. And that is faith in God that you're going to run the race. You just keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Don't worry about anything. Just trust God to get you there. You do that. You just do it. You just put one foot in front of the other. 17:2. 17:2. What?
Just keep breathing.
Yeah, just keep on taking another breath. My heart doesn't always cooperate. It does what it wants to. I have to jar that one back in rhythm every now and then by coughing. You see me up here sometimes and I'll cough. I'm not really coughing. I'm trying to get my heart to beat right. That's what you call a maneuver. We et tana bariti bene yuvanika we erbe ot ta Ka bemode meod. And I shall make my covenant. I shall cut my covenant. I shall make or I shall cut my covenant between me and between you. God is going to make a covenant, not Abraham. This is an unconditional covenant. Salvation by grace is an unconditional covenant. We don't have anything to do with the end result of it. You're saved by grace. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. And I shall be making my covenant between me and between you. And I shall make many. I shall, first question, construct singular hiphael. I shall make many you in exceedingly, exceedingly. I'm gonna give you a whole lot of descendants. And if we did, every one of us in this room did a DNA study of us, we would probably go back to Abraham. Physically. Abraham had his first wife that produced a child was a Hamite. His second wife that produced a child was a Shemite. And his third child was a Japhethite. So in 100 generations, I can tell you, we're probably back there with Abraham somewhere. We're cousins or kissing cousins or somebody. 17 and verse 3. Are you ready to quit? Or you want another? You ready to leave? Fly? One more? One unamas? One more time. Okay. 17:3. The sign of worship. The sign of worship. That's what I entitled this one. Wayipo Avram El Panal Waydabar Ital Elohim Lemor. Now the way you say that is Lemor. Lemor. You roll that R in Hebrew. Lemor. Alright. Wayipo. And he fell. This is the word we get the word Nephilim from. The fallen ones. Nephilim. Wayipo. And he fell, Abram, upon his face. Al Panah, upon his face. And he spoke with him Elohim, saying. Previews of coming attractions. Huh? You got to go to the next word? We can't stop in the middle of that? You can't do that. All right, we'll go one more verse. Okay. Ani. Hene. Bariti. Etak. Wahaita. Liav. Hamon. Goyom. Goyim, that is. Goyim. Goyim. I behold my covenant with you. And you shall become for a father the multitude, many nations. That's what I told you. He'll become the father of many nations. All right, the father of many nations. Are you ready to quit now? Is that all right? Can I quit now? All right. We'll start at 17 and verse 5 next week. And this is 8 and 21. All right, 8:21. I appreciate your coming here out on a hot afternoon in Bakersfield, California to learn God's Word. It excites me when I see students wanting to learn God's Word. I get all excited. I'm happy. All right. Well, let's go out and do something eternal. Do something eternal. Brother Harry, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?